There we are. Christ is enough. For I am persuaded. And we're just going to look at a passage here. In your Bible, it may say it's the believer's triumph. And the reason we have triumph as believers is because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ triumphed. On this day, that was the victory. That was the triumph over sin and death, the penalty thereof. Because we were all under a curse. And the curse was broken. So we have great reason to rejoice. And I'm just going to go through this brief passage. It's like 9 verses. And it says, What then are we to say about these things? This is Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And he says, what are we then to say about these things? And what things was he talking about? Paul had just gotten through talking about Jesus calling us, saving us, justifying us, doing everything for us. All these things that we could be a child of God, that we would be joint heirs with the Son. And you know, when you're an heir with the Son, joint, you get everything he gets. And so there is great reason to rejoice. And so he says, what are we then to say about these things? Because, you know, we should live triumphantly. We should live in victory. We should not live as downcast or beaten down or as victims or anything like that. We should be victorious. And that should be our attitude. That should be our demeanor. Not arrogant, because our victory is through him. He did it, but we partake in it. We are joint heirs with him. And so what are we to say about these things? Well, number one, if God is for us, who can be against you? You know, sometimes it seems like the world's against you. It seems like, you know, everything, you know, whatever it might be, it could be the world itself, or it could be your health, it could be, you know, money, whatever it might be. It might seem like everything works against you. But you know what? If he is for you, who can be against you? The victory has already been determined. It's already been won on a cross 2,000 years ago. He paid the price for it all. And then he rose in victory. And because he has life, we have life. We should act like we have life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on. Life. Amen. Life. There we go. I mean, this day above all days. So if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare his own son. But he offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Now that everything, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm going to pray for a, I don't know, Boss 302 Mustang for Christmas, and then I'm going to get it. You know, that's not what it's talking about. He will not, it says, he offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Jesus got new life. And you know what? We get new life. Jesus ascended into heaven. We get to ascend into heaven. Jesus had victory over sin and death. Guess what? We have victory over sin and death. Everything Jesus got, we get. It's not talking about this life. It's talking about life. The eternal life that God gives us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He offered up his Son. How will he not also grant us all the stuff that Jesus gets? Man, you got to remember that. Remember that no matter how tough it gets. We have an inheritance. I talked about it last week. We have an inheritance. And it's because of Jesus we get it. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. In other words, people accuse us all kinds of things. Okay, you're aware of it. You know, we can be accused as a group, as Christians, and you know, we get blamed for a lot of things and told we're narrow-minded and all these things. But who can bring an accusation against the elect? That's us. God is the one who justifies. That word justifies. You've been declared not guilty, folks. You're declared not guilty. And God is the judge. And when the judge says you're not guilty, you're not guilty. So who's going to bring an accusation against me? Who's going to bring an accusation against you? We are not guilty. Do we sin? Yeah. And as Christians, we should make that right, and we should ask for forgiveness and all that. But in the end, see, we're going to have the great accuser. Satan himself is accusing you. But God says, you know what? You're justified because you believed in my Son. By faith, you believed on what Christ did on the cross, and he rose again in victory. God's the one who justifies. I don't worry about what they think. Now, I worry about what they think about my reputation because I'm representing Christ and so are you. We are ambassadors. But you know what? They walk away from that and they just think, well, I'm whatever. That's good. You know, it's whatever they think. God says, I'm justified. And that's good enough for me. And it ought to be good enough for you. It says, who is the one who condemns? You know, people condemn people. People condemn Christians. Christ Jesus is the one who died. He was the one who was condemned, wasn't he? And he died, but even more, he has been raised. And now he's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Interceding for us. I taught a few weeks ago on the tabernacle and about the right hand of God and all those things. And Jesus in the tabernacle at the right hand of God. And there used to be two scribes with the high priest. And one was on the left and one was on the right. And the one on the left recorded all the accusations and what the penalties would be. But when you were declared not guilty, the guy on the right wrote in there the conditions of your being found not guilty. And he is at the right hand of God saying, you know what? Mike's not guilty. Mike's not guilty. And you know what? He's up there saying for you, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're not guilty. He is up there interceding for us right now with God the Father. So who's going to condemn me? Nobody. Because Christ died, rose again. I believed. I'm justified. I'm declared not guilty. And Jesus is up there saying, yeah, I know he's a mess, but he's one of us. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? You know, so many people, you know, it's easy. You know, when we get down, and we do, you know, life weighs on you. Sometimes circumstances weigh on us. Sometimes the world weighs on us. And yes, sometimes even Satan or his demons, they kind of weigh on us and oppress us. And they try to push us down. And they try to tell you, you know what? You're so wicked. You're so evil. There's no way God would do anything for you. He's holy and you're not. He says that kind of stuff. And he says, you're separated from God. And you know what? If you don't have Jesus Christ, you are. But if you place your faith and trust in him, you're not separated from him. And nothing can separate you. And he says, can affliction? You know, what's afflicting you? Could be a lot of things. Can affliction or anguish? I know some people have a lot of anguish. They have things going on. I mean, heavy stuff. And they have anguish. Can persecution? You know, we read about it all the time, especially in the Middle East areas and places like that, the persecution that's taken place. Or how about famine? Sometimes we think, you know, if we're going through a hard time, God's kind of forgotten us. We're separated from him. Or he says, or nakedness. In other words, you got nothing. Maybe you lose everything. Or danger. Maybe you're in danger. Or maybe someone's after you violently. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And then there's this little verse kind of written in the middle of all this. And it says, that is as it is written. And I think it's either Psalm 42 or 44. I can't remember. One of those two. And it says, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. You know, this is a guy pouting, you know, blaming God. I mean, we are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Oh, God, why are you doing this? Oh. And he says, no, we don't think that way because we are victorious. And he says, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. You know, all these things that we do, all these parts of our life, in all the things that afflict us, and all the things that happen, we are still more than victorious through he who loved us. He loved us so much, He gave His life for us. That's a lot of love. You know, as Jesus once said, He said, yeah, for a good man, somebody might give their life, maybe. There's a couple good ones out there somebody might die for. But not too many. You know, you might die for your wife or your husband or your children or something like that, your grandchildren. But are you going to die for some mass murderer somewhere? You going to die for him? You going to die for Hitler? You going to die for him? Jesus did. Jesus did. Now that's love, folks. That's love. And that's the kind of love He loves you. And don't you ever forget it. He loves you. And He says, this title of the message kind of, I said, for I am persuaded. I hope you're persuaded today. I hope you're persuaded. I am persuaded that not even death can't separate you. Life, angels, rulers. So those are kind of nebulous things. Those are kind of big, high things. But how about things present? What's going on in your life in the present? I am persuaded that not even things present, or maybe you see a situation coming in your life and you're like, oh man, I can't. Man, I don't want this to happen, but it looks like it's going to happen. Things to come. Things to come. Hostile powers. Or height, or depth, or any other created thing. Now what has been created? Everything. Okay? Even Satan himself was created. Everything is created. Everything that we can know and touch, with the exception of God Himself, was not created. He always was. And He is, and He always will be. But height or depth, any created thing has the power to separate us from the love of God. That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you. None of those things on that list, or anything you can think of, can separate you from that, or separate you from the victory that you already have in Him. Man, take a moment to realize what this day means, because that's what it means. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ of God the Father. And everything He has is ours. It gives us great privilege. It gives us great privilege to be in that family. You know, it's kind of like when the king and queen are still alive, you know, there's all the princes and everything. Even though they're not actually in charge, they're heirs, and they have great privilege, don't they? They go all around the kingdom, and God takes care of them. You know, their father that takes care of them. And they get to go in and out of the palace anytime they want. You know, they have an audience with their parents anytime they want. That's what we have. We're joint heirs. We have an audience with the God of the universe anytime we need to. Anytime you have a need, you have an audience with Him. Why? Because He's your Father. And you have a privilege. You have the privilege of going to Him with all your heart, with all the stuff that's weighing on you, all the things. And even the good things, you know, when the happy stuff comes, you know, when the blessings come, do you go to the Father and say, thank you? Say, man, you show your love to me in so many ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Nothing can separate us. I'm persuaded. How about you? Are you persuaded? Jesus Christ defeated sin and death at the cross. We are joint heirs with Christ. As heirs, we have everything He has. Everything He has, we have. You just let that sink in. And you just thank God for it. You thank God for it. If you have put your faith in Christ, rejoice. For Christ is enough. Christ is enough. What He did on the cross was enough. I've said it before in some sermons. I'll probably say it as long as I have breath. And it's that If God didn't do another thing for you in your life, if He had not done another thing on this earth since Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, if He hadn't done another thing, that proves His love. That proves His love to you. Even if He didn't do another thing since, He gave His Son to die in your place and mine. He proved His love by the sacrifice of His Son. Christ is enough. Now, do we get extra blessings? Absolutely we do. He's a good God. And He loves His children. Praise God for the blessings. Praise God for His love that manifests itself in a lot of ways. But I'm telling you, Christ is enough. He was enough, He is enough, and He will always be enough. That's where our faith lies. That's truth, folks. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's the only way. There's not 14 doors to heaven. There's only one, Jesus Christ. I hope you have that relationship. I'm going to have an invitation for two reasons. One, I always give an invitation. But two, it's the Lord's Supper we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate what Christ did, His broken body, His shed blood for us. And on the one hand, the invitation, I just have a question for you to ponder. Are you an heir? Are you persuaded that you're not separated from God? Because if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've never confessed to God that you're a sinner and that Christ paid the price for your sin, if you've never done that, then you are separated from God. And see, and the verse said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that's because if you've accepted His Son, you're good to go. You don't lose it. It's always there. You know, I had three children. No matter what they do, they're still my boys. They never cease being my boys. Once you're a child, you're always a child, folks. Question is, are you a child? Have you been adopted into the family of God? That's the question. And that's the question every single person has to answer. You either accept Christ or you reject Him. So my question to those of you that may have never done this is, are you persuaded now? I hope you are. Because we're going to have an invitation. You're going to have an opportunity to become a child of God. To be adopted into the family. It's a very simple process. It's not like our adoption laws, which are crazy. It's just a simple process. If you believe in your heart, confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Period. Okay? No strings attached. It's the best deal in the history of mankind. Absolutely the best deal. For the rest of us, the Bible warns us, Paul warns us in Corinthians, be careful when you take the Lord's Supper. You need to be right with God. You know, is there something in your life, something you haven't, you know, kind of confessed to God and you're kind of holding back? Paul says, don't do it. And so I always give an invitation before we have a Lord's Supper. For those that may want to come forward and accept Christ as Savior, or for those that may want to come forward and have prayer, or for those that just want to deal with God because they need to. You know, what have you been putting off? What's the Holy Spirit been kind of gnawing at your heart saying you need to take care of it? Well, you know what? Today's the day to take care of it. Today's the day. This day above all days. Look what He did that we would have fellowship with Him. Don't let something that's going on in your life separate you from the fellowship of God. Okay? We always have the relationship, but you know what? When we have stuff in our life, we kind of lose the fellowship. And He's waiting for us to just say, please forgive me, Father. I was wrong. forgive me, restore me. And you know what? He does. He's faithful. So Kathy, if you'll come, Kathy's going to play. This is your time. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never accepted the sacrifice in Jesus Christ. I've never been able to enjoy the victory that this day represents. I've never been able to do that because I've never made that step of faith. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that, you've never done it. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I pray that you will. For the rest of us, this time is for you to examine your heart. This time is for you to ask God to reveal something to you that maybe you've just been kind of hiding from Him, or maybe you've denied it for so long you believe it yourself. But Lord God, I pray that you will touch hearts here this morning. Lord God, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that needs to make that commitment to you, that needs to ask you for forgiveness, they will come forward and do so. Lord God, I pray you give them courage. And Lord God, for anyone here that needs to take away or take care of something that's kind of breaking up the fellowship, Lord, I pray they'd take care of it right now, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. You deal with God. If you want to come up here and pray, I'll pray with you. Whatever your need is, this is the time. Thankful for the gift of salvation, thankful for Jesus Christ, His sacrifice on the cross, and most of all, Lord, thankful that You raised Him from the dead in victory over sin, that we may have that same life for all eternity. We praise You and thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.